I mentioned the word Zarephath last time. It's interesting to me that Kareth meant cutting or a removal. And I am convinced that there were some things that needed to be cut out, that needed to be removed from Elijah. And it's interesting to me that the word Zarephath, and later on when he left the brook Kareth, when the brook dried up and the water was no more there, he went to a place called Zarephath, and Zarephath means smelter. And a smelter is where impurities in a metal is removed, so there's just the pure metal left. And there was still some impurities in his life that needed to be done away with. And can you imagine Elijah having gone up to the king, to the president, if you will, and saying, "Oh, king, it's not going to rain for another 3 years." I mean, it had rained for 6 months, and for Elijah to tell the king, can you imagine that? I mean, that had to have taken faith. That had to. And immediately, God told him, "I want you to turn eastward, and I want you to go to Kareth, and there I will take care of you. The ravens, they're going to feed you. And not only that, you can drink water from the brook." Now understand, it hadn't rained for 6 months. And everybody knows that a little brook, a little stream, is going to get dry before too long. And it reminded me of Abraham. You know, Abraham, when he was 75, God said unto him, "Go into a land, and by the way, when you get there, I'll tell you." You know, and if I'm not mistaken, at verse 4, into Canaan he came. And then it tells us that he went into the land of Sichem, in the place of Moreh. And Abraham had to have a shoulder to lean upon. That's what Sichem means. And he needed to be taught. That's what Moreh means. He needed to be taught some things about God. There are times when I think, you know, Lord, I really trust you. I really do. And then God shows me how much I don't really trust him. That's how Elijah was. Elijah, surely he trusted God. Had he not trusted God, he would never have gone to the king. But God, who's been raising children for a long, long time, God, he wanted to remove some unbelief in his life. And so I want us, before we get into the life of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, I wanted to read what old Peter had to say. And so I direct our attention to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. And he writes that the trial of your faith, and oh, how my faith needs to be tried. Oh, it does. And so often God tries my faith. And so often God will try your faith. God wants our faith to be in Him and in Him alone. That's a trial of your faith. Now this is from God's vantage point, not from mine. It's from God's. It's how God sees things. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, and oftentimes my faith is tried with fire. It is. Not that God is ugly or God wants to be mean. It's not that God wants to see me squirm. But God wants me to trust Him. Might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, God wants me. He wants you to trust Him. When Jesus Christ returns, and I am convinced that He's coming soon, real soon. I believe that if you and I really knew what soon really meant, we'd be beside ourselves. And the writer of Hebrews says, He that is coming, He will not tarry. He's in love. He really is. Listen to God's word in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 11. And it's talking about Israel. And Israel had sent spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And the two spies, old Joshua and Caleb, and I've got two grandsons named Joshua and Caleb. And they said, we can trust God. He will see us through. He will do everything He said. But the 10 spies says, oh, no. It's a land of milk and honey. Here is some of the grapes. Here's some of the fruit of the land. Yeah, that's right. But the sons of Anak are there. There's giants in the land. And the cities, oh man, they've got high walls. And we, in our own eyes, are but grasshoppers. That was true. There were giants in the land. That's true. The enemy was there. Canaan. There were battles to be fought in Canaan. Yeah. And the cities did have high walls. Everything that was said was true. They saw it. But God said, I will drive them out from before you. Just as surely as the gods of Egypt were defeated, just as surely, and we can go on and on and on. But the people of Israel listened to the 10 and not the 2. The spies I'm talking about. Let us make ourselves captains and let's go back to Egypt. For it would be better that we die in Egypt than in the land. That was the mentality. And so that's the context around Numbers 14 verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? You know, when the people of God do not believe God, it provokes God. Oh, God has shown me so much. I ought to trust Him. Abraham. It took God 25 years to build faith in the life of Abraham. I'm slow. I guess I am slow. It's taking God a lifetime to make me more and more like Jesus Christ. How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? Why, Moses, why don't they trust me? Look at what I've done to them. Look at what I've done for them. Why don't they trust me? How long will it be before they trust me? And they died in the wilderness. And now we are ready to listen to what the Scripture says about Elijah the prophet. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. It's not going to rain anymore. There won't be any more dew upon the ground until I say so. And by the way, I stand in the presence of Almighty God. And after he had said that, in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him. God spoke to Elijah again, saying, Elijah, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth. I want you to stay there for 3 years. That's what it amounted to. Because Elijah, I'm going to do something in your life. And it shall be, I'm in verse 4, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens, to feed thee there. Elijah, now God is speaking, that's quite clear. Elijah, go eastward. Go to the brook Kereth. Not only are you to go there to hide from the wrath of Ahab, and believe me, the king was mad. It hadn't rained for 6 months, and now this man of God, he says, and I don't believe that man. I don't believe his God. And now this man says it's not going to rain until he says so. Ahab was angry. Elijah, go eastward. Go to the brook Kereth, surely to shelter himself from the wrath of Ahab. But not only that, God had something else in mind. Elijah, I want to increase your faith. Surely it was for God's own glory. Surely it was for Elijah's own good. Go to the brook Kereth. Keep on trusting me. Oh, I know that you trusted me to go to the king. I know you did, Elijah. Oh, but you've got to trust me, because it's going to get rough these next few years. Yeah. And listen to what Paul the Apostle said in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know from experience. We know something. Well, what do we know? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Yeah. I mean, after all, idolatry was everywhere. Oh, you think godlessness is rampant now? Yeah. I mean, everywhere Elijah looked, everywhere was idolatry. Everybody worshipped Baal. The king worshipped Baal. the king's wife, Jezebel, she worshiped Baal. Everybody did. And surely, the king, as I've already said, would be angry. Surely. Elijah was not left to his own choice. Elijah, it would be a good idea if you went there. Oh no, that's not what he said. No. He said, go there. Stay there. I'm going to teach you something there. I want you to go there. And there are those that I've talked to that says, preacher, you ought to be above all of this. You're supposed to have everything already worked out. Oh, but remember, Elijah was a man of like passions. That's what James said. Elijah was a man just like me. That means he thought like I think. He felt like I feel. He acted like I act. He was a man of like passions. He was just like one of you. And the people of the northern tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, all they knew Elijah. And they had him in view as, we don't like him because he is our enemy. He wasn't welcome anywhere. Oh, you think it's bad? I've had folks all but cuss me out because of the things that I believe about the doctrine of grace. Folks don't like that. They didn't like the ground he walked on, I'm convinced. They did not like Elijah at all. Get thee hence, Elijah, and go to the brook Kereth, that is before the Jordan. You know, it's interesting that I have read that Jordan speaks of death. And it's interesting that the brook Kereth was on the way to Jordan. Elijah, don't you know? Elijah, don't you remember that a child of God is to die to himself? Not my will be done, but thy will be done. If you want to know the truth, I've got my own agenda. So do you. This is what I want to do. This is the way I will do it. No, Elijah. That can't be the case. We do it the way God says we do it. He had to learn that. Oh, I know Elijah had faith. I have faith. You have faith. But Elijah, you've got to trust me and me alone. I'm the only one you are to trust. There's giants in the land. There's battles to be fought. All circumstances are great. They are. Elijah, the going hasn't gotten rough, half rough yet. It's going to get rough. I've always heard the saying, when the going gets rough, the rough get going. I've always heard that. And I'm convinced things aren't half bad yet. Stick around. They're going to get worse. Oh, I know the cities have high walls. I know that you're but grasshoppers. I understand. But just trust me. Trust me, because nothing is impossible with God. You know what Paul said? He said two things. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I don't depend upon myself and I depend only upon God, then I am strong. That's what he meant. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Oh, I can't do everything. There's a lot of things that I can't do. I can't sing a stitch. I suspect you already know that. But I can do anything that God has called me to do. Elijah! Get thee hence. Go to the brook Kereth. There's some things in your life. There's some doubt in your life. Abraham. Oh, I know he went to Sychem. I know that he went to Moreh. I understand that. But what else did he do? He went into Egypt where there was famine in the land. Abraham, trust me. I know there's famine in the land. Trust me. Even in the midst of famine, trust me. He was 75 years old. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. 25 years later. And then there was a little lapse in time. I don't know how old Isaac was. But in Genesis 22, Abraham, you know that son that you love so much? Well, he had two sons. He had old Ishmael. But God was talking about Isaac. Take him to a place in Moriah. And I want you to offer him a burnt sacrifice unto me. Oh, but God, I have waited so long and you have promised me he is my heir. Sacrifice him unto me. And Abraham, what he told the men, you stay here with the donkeys. The lad and I, we're going to go up and we're going to worship God and we will return. Wait a minute. I thought God said offer him a sacrifice for a burnt offering. Oh yes, he did. That meant if Isaac was to be an heir, if all of his seed would be called through Isaac, if Isaac was to be sacrificed like God had commanded, then surely God knows what he's doing. Surely there's a resurrection. Surely, surely, surely God can bring him back from the dead. Surely. And God told Christ, who is God, he told the religious leaders, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. Same time frame, I'm convinced. But what is interesting to me is Abraham named the place, he called the place where Isaac was to be sacrificed, Jehovah Jireh. And then he said, in that day it shall be seen. And I'm convinced that 3,500 years later it was seen, because in that very same spot Jesus Christ was crucified. He died for me. If you believe, he died for you. If anyone ever believes, he died for them. Get thee to the brook Kereth. Elijah, I want you to trust me. He wants you to trust him. He wants me to trust him. I do. Oh, I do. But there's so much unbelief in my life. There is. And there was no doubt that God was with Elijah back in the first verse, if you remember, in whose presence I stand. He stood in the presence of Almighty God. Indeed, Elijah had been obedient. Elijah had gone to the king with a message that God had said. But I want you to notice where God sent him. Go to Kereth. Again, that is a Hebrew word that means cutting or separation. Now, I want you to think for a moment. A brook is a small stream, and it could dry up any moment. Elijah, I will take care of you. You've got to learn that. I will take care, good care of you. God's faithful. I will send ravens and they're going to feed you. And by the way, you can drink water from the brook. But God, brooks dry up. God, there's no rain. It's been dry. I will take care of you, Elijah. Trust me. Trust me. And he would surely drink of the brook. But every day, every time he turned around, he had to depend upon God for his daily provision. Every single moment of every day, everything. And typically in the summer months, a brook went dry. Oh, how God's people need to look to God. God is the blesser. We look to Him. We don't look to the blessings, but we look to the giver, and God is the giver. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15, Bajeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Elijah, you must be careful. You can't do this. We can't do it either. We can't grow fat on the blessings and neglect the blessor. Mm-mm. And the people today have the same temptation. Oh, how we're tempted. Oh, we like good times. I like good times. I don't like to hurt. I like good health. Elijah, you go to Kareth. I will provide for you there. You just depend upon me. And as I've already alluded to, Abraham became a man of great faith. I'm not talking just about faith. I mean great faith. God revealed Himself. Elijah, I am sovereign. Elijah, I am in control of everything. Have you noticed that things happen to you and they happen to me? I don't know about you, but I don't get a phone call from God. What do you think if I do this? No, it just happens. I'm stuck with it. It just happens. I'm in control, Elijah. It's not going to rain. I don't care how many rain dances the people do. I don't care anything about that. It's not going to rain. And not only that, but guess who's going to feed you? Ravens. They're going to feed you. And typically, a raven is a scavenger. But God's word says, God said, I will take care of you. I will send the ravens. Typically, they don't think of anything but themselves. God's in charge. God's in control. And the thing is, it's God's way. It's not my way. The Bible says God's ways are not the same as my ways. I would never do things like that. Neither would you. Has it occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Has it? God just knows. God knows what Elijah needed. God knows what I need. And God knows what you need. He knows it. And He's going to have His way. Elijah, go to the brook, because there are some things that need to be cut away. Oh, Elijah, you think you trust me? You're going to have to really trust me. That's what He's saying to me. That's what He's saying to you. Oh, I know the ravens don't feed us. I understand that. At least they've never came and fed me. And I've never had to drink from the brook Kareth. But God knows how to get my attention. And God knows how to get your attention. Listen to Matthew chapter 3 verse 9. And our Lord is talking to religious Jews, to people who thought they knew something. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Oh, what a God we have. He's marvelous. He really is. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. He really is. And the thing is, you and I do not know the half of it. I tried to sit back and say, God, how wonderful are you? And I must confess, I don't know. Oh, I say he's wonderful, and he really is, but I cannot imagine how wonderful he really is. I'm convinced that those who have gone before us, they see him in his beauty, they see him in his power, they see him in his glory, they see him as he really really is. And they don't have that old flesh to hinder them anymore. Even the fish, even the wind, even the sea, everything obeys him. God is sovereign in everything. Listen to Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea. And by the way, if God so pleases Israel, God can make you walk through the sea on dry land. God can do anything he wants to. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Red Sea. It's just not ankle deep. Oh no, like many try to say. No, no. It was deep. I remember I got my orders from boot camp. I was to join Attack Squadron 93. Oh, and VA 93 was aboard the USS Enterprise, CVAN 65. Oh, that's a nuclear aircraft carrier, nuclear powered. Man, I can't even swim, I'm thinking to myself. In fact, I shared that with some friends. I can't swim, and they're wanting to put me aboard an aircraft carrier. I can't swim. Oh, don't worry. That carrier is always 3 miles from land. Whew, I thought. And then they said, yeah, straight down. And then I got to worrying again, real fast. God maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, and they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, God tells his people. It shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. God says, I will do it. Not you. I will do it. What is so hard about trusting God? I mean, we trust him for salvation, don't we? Yeah. Doesn't the Word of God say the just shall live by faith? I am saved by faith. God made the difference. I must live by faith. God must make the difference. Elijah, there are some things that need to be cut away. Trust me. Trust me. Oh, I know you've trusted me. But Elijah, trust me. No matter what happens, trust me. Trust me. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. My chosen. That's not my words. That's God's word. God is talking to His chosen. I will make a way. Elijah, you've got to know, I will make a way. And then in Genesis in chapter 22, and we've already talked about this a little bit, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That word means to test. And said to him, Abraham, and he says, behold, here am I. And he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains which I will tell thee. See, we've talked about this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. The point is, Abraham did exactly what God told him to do. That's the point. Elijah, I know that you've gone before the king, and I know that you've told the king, you've given him the message that I've given you to give him. I know that. But Elijah, I'm not through yet. I'm going to do some other things. Elijah, you've got to trust me. Trust me. And the thing is, in the life of Elijah, these things were real. The things in my life are real. The things in your life are real. God is doing something. I don't know what it is. His ways are past finding out. All I know is I've got to trust him. Elijah had to trust him. Abraham had to trust him. We don't know what God will do, but whatever he does, we just need to trust him. And I know we've heard this before. I've heard it before. I have thought it before. And I do trust Him. But oh God, help me and my unbelief. And we're going to see next time that the brook Kereith, in fact, did dry up. And then he goes there on to a place called Zarephath. And we'll get to Zarephath. We'll get there before too long. And Elijah, he found out, oh, God, you're going to take care of me and you're going to use this widow. This widow is in worse shape than I'm in. She's terrible. I mean, not she, but the condition is terrible. And I'm to depend upon her. Oh, but Elijah, you're forgetting. I'm God. Nothing is impossible with me. Just trust me. Would you please stand? Would you bow your heads? Mr. Lucian, when you shut that thing off, you dismiss us in prayer.